and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Lots of stuff going on today. It's Monday, of course. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm absolutely blessed. We had a nice little barium aluminum 3-minute sprinkle. And basically, it was one of those things that if you left your vehicle out, you got to go dry your car off to get all the water spots off. Because normally, you remember, distilled water comes out of the sky, which means it doesn't water spot if the car is clean. This stuff water spots. This stuff makes a mess because it has so much residual powder in it. So it's been very strange weather again all weekend. Very unseasonably warm here in Florida for February. And we've had record snowfalls all over the world right now. So it's really interesting what they're doing with the weather. I had an email from one of our listeners. Lori and her husband listen to the show every day, and they were all excited and really excited about what's going on as far as Trump signing the legislation now, giving us rights as far as hopefully being able to refuse mandatory vaccinations. And, you know, and I hope that happens. I really do. And we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago on the show. But also you have to ask yourself a question. Why is Gottlieb the head of the Food and Drug Administration? I mean, why about that? I mean, why is it that Gottlieb is a huge pro-vaccine guy, and why is he the head of the FDA? You know, and then I wrote back to Lori, and I said, Lori, this Trump administration continues to baffle me. It's bipolar. I personally believe that the people who are being selected for key positions are being done for Trump without his input. Why was the Afghanistan allowed to double heroin production in 2017, unimpeded by the USA, who is in firm control of the country? Who's running our country? Well, as you know, we regularly cover that on the show. And then we also brought in the fact that the Clintons may have had that plane crashed over in Russia because some of the folks from Uranium One were on that aircraft that were involved with the dealings with the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation. But remember, this is what I wrote back to Lori. Yes, but remember, the Clintons probably don't give the direct orders. At her age now, she is now a cutout, a proxy, which has lost her effectiveness, talking about Hillary. Now she is just a figurehead, kind of like George Soros. But she probably has a dead woman's switch in the event she is prosecuted or is killed. It's probably the release of a dirty nuclear bomb here in the United States or an intel dump naming top pedophiles and deep state operatives. This is deep state collusion. But when she was in the Rose Law Firm, she did work on the patent for the GPS navigation systems in all aircraft. This system can be hacked remotely and can crash a plane. They're all a bunch of sickos. Now, that's my conversation with Lori today, which, by the way, thank you, Lori. You're a wonderful listener, wonderful friend, and thank you for supporting Health Masters and your husband also. Thank you so much. But, Austin, what do you think about what's going on with Trump wanting to give us rights as far as refusing vaccinations? And what do you think about this crash in Russia?
I mean, there's definitely the rights aspect of it with the vaccinations is something that we need back drastically. I mean, the aspect of what they've done with the vaccines and trying to push out some of the most toxic substances known to man in these vaccines and then sit there and tell everybody that the vaccine schedule is now at 76, 78 vaccinations for children all the way up to the age of 18 is bad enough. But then them coming through and trying to forcibly mandate this garbage like they've done in California now, where essentially they strip you of any type of public access. And you know what the crazy part of this, guys, you got to think about this for a second. The people in California, they're still paying property taxes. They're still paying state income tax. They're still paying sales tax. They're still paying fees on top of fees on top of taxes on top of fees for just about every single thing you do in California, including breathing air. And the aspect of that is public education is supposed to be included in that, in the taxes that you've paid in. Same thing in Florida, same thing in a lot of these states. So for them to come through and basically say, well, we're going to strip you of your ability to be able to go to daycare, to be able to go to public-funded schools, to be able to have the access to your children to be able to go to school if you don't forcibly submit yourself to us and allow us to shoot your children up with almost every single known neurotoxin known to man of these vaccinations is egregious to me. I had a friend out in California that I just talked to the other day that has a truck out there, like mine, you know, like a Chevy 2500. And he said it's insane. Everybody that he knows is moving out of California, moving either out to Texas or out to Colorado or out to Arizona. He said right now, he sent me a screenshot the other day of his registration, you know, the little decal you put on your tag, just the registration, not your license, not your insurance, not your smog taxes, not any of this other stuff, just your registration for your tag on a Chevy 2500 Duramax, and it came out to $965 per year is what they charge you to have a vehicle like that in the state of California. I mean, literally, if you show me a breakdown of it, it's insane. It is absolutely insane what is going on out there. But then at the same time, they want to turn around and force you to submit to their absolutely disgusting vaccinations. And I had a discussion with Dad yesterday. I kind of had this epiphany because of what we're seeing now with these toll roads pop up all over the state down here in Florida. It's becoming insane because you already pay taxes on the fuel. You already pay tire tax. You already pay sales tax. You already pay registration. You already pay fees on your vehicle when you buy them. You already pay all this stuff. Every single thing you do gets taxed and then gets fees added on top of the taxes. If nobody's noticed that, you need to start looking at stuff when you buy it and when you have to pay it in. And yet, we don't have publicly funded roads through our state taxes in Florida hardly anymore. Most of the roads in Florida are going to garbage. If they're not, they're being repaired for like 10 years at a time. Yet we have these toll roads that pop up like within 2 to 3 years, and they charge $2, $3, $4 now just to go to one town to the next. But at the same time, what they've done with these is they've created a giant surveillance state out of every single state. Think about it. It's very rare that you hardly ever use a toll road anymore because they've linked them in to the main infrastructure that has made it almost impossible to transit from one town to the next freely on your way, uncongested, without being restricted through heavy, heavy traffic, without going on a toll road. Now, when you go through a toll booth, they take a photo of the front of your vehicle. They have the surveillance footage now with the cameras that I already talked about in Texas. They can see you through windshield tint now and all the occupants in your vehicle with facial recognition camera. Then they take a photo of your tag every single time you go through any toll booth. So if there's ever an incident where they want to fine you immediately, they have a grid set up on demand to pick up your tag and your face and your vehicle at any given time, anywhere you go pretty much in the state, if you don't take back roads upon back roads to get to places, which you can still do in some cases in Florida, but it takes you usually a lot longer to do so. This is what they're building now, is a giant surveillance police state. Then you have the bill that I just saw today push through the Senate, which obviously I don't think it's going to go through now. It's supposed to be basically pushing through by the Senate and the House of Representatives. It got, when did it get put? It basically got submitted February 6, 2018, and they're referring to it as the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2018, H.R. 4918. Now, I highly doubt this is going to go anywhere. I really don't think it will. But the bill, it goes in short title, the act may be cited as Domestic Terrorist Prevention Act of 2018, Section 2 findings. This is the beginning of the bill, how it starts out now. Congress finds the following: white supremacists and other right-wing terrorists are the most significant domestic terrorism threat facing the United States. An unclassified May 2017 Joint Intelligence Bulletin from the FBI and Department of Homeland Security have found that white supremacist extremism posed a persistent threat of lethal violence, and white supremacists were responsible for 49 homicides from 2000 to 2016, more than any other domestic extremist movement. First off, I guess we're not going to address anything else that we've seen with Muslim terroristic behavior over the last 15 to 20 years. I guess that's just null and void. But what they're doing now is they're slowly trying to build this where they can essentially deem. Now, if you go through the bill, I'm not going to go through all of it. We got way too many articles to go today. I've already taken long enough on this. But what they essentially want to do is be able to brand you. If you are white and you do anything at all, essentially, they want to be able to start deeming you a domestic terrorist. So if you get in a fight with somebody and they basically don't like you, they immediately can say, oh, this guy's a white supremacist, he's a neo-Nazi, we're filing charges on him for domestic terrorism. All the accounts that they've brought up down there are completely and totally unbacked. Every single time something happens, they say, white supremacist killed this individual. White supremacist killed this individual with no backing at all. All they have to do now is deem you for simply having a white color of your skin, a white supremacist right-wing extremist. That's it. That's all they have to say now with this bill. And it's quite scary that it's starting to head this way. And then you start seeing the surveillance that they're building up, all this other stuff they're starting to do. It makes it clearer and clearer what their overall end game is, Dad. So definitely some weird stuff going on right now.
You know, I read a book this weekend, and it's an interesting book. And the reason I read it is it was banned from Amazon. Banned. I mean, they took it down, wasn't allowed to be sold. Now, I don't agree with the entire book. It's called The Bad War, The Truth Never Taught About World War II. It's by Mike King, K-I-N-G. And I read this book, and I thought, you know, it was sent to me, and I thought, I'm going to read this. And sometimes people send me stuff, and I'll get into the first paragraph or the first two or three pages, and it goes really berserk anti-Christian, and I'm like, I'm done, I'm out, I'm finished, because I'm not going to read stuff like that. But I thought I'd read this because it was interesting to me, The Bad War. And I read the first 111 pages or so yesterday. Then we had the company come over last night and a bunch of other stuff, so I couldn't finish it. And I had read another book by Tex Mars on the symbology of the Masonic Lodges on Saturday. That was a long book. That took me a while. It was almost 600 pages. This book was only 300 pages, so it was an easy read. And what was interesting about the book, after the first 111 pages or so, I sent a link out to my database, my personal email list of about 100 people or so that are like friends of mine that we've talked to many times. And I told them, I said, you know, at this point in time, this is exactly pretty much, as far as the precursor to World War II, what my uppa, my grandfather was born like, I think he was born like 1884, what he told me, and my mom, who was born in 1916, who were both in Germany during World War, my dad was, grandfather was there during World War I, he knew the whole history of it, and my mom was there, of course, during the rise and fall of the Third Reich. And so, you know, they told me a lot of this stuff, and so I thought, well, I'm going to read this book, The Bad War. And it documented what was going on and who the Zionists were as far as the media and the communists and all the stuff that we've talked about on the show, Austin, about who in the world runs the media, who runs Hollywood. We're talking about the Sabbatean Kabbalists. We're talking about the Luciferians. And this book ties it all together as far as how the world was basically manipulated, primarily through Winston Churchill, by the way, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was an about devout communist. And Churchill, remember, was a druid, and they basically were both a couple of sickos. And we end up with this group of people that pushes us into the war. I mean, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, now we know that it was basically the information was released 50 years after World War II about how he forced Japan to attack the United States, and a lot of other things that I was unaware of. Like, I was always wondering why when Germany went into Poland, Russia also went into Poland, and Germany, they declared war on Germany, England did, and France did, for going into Poland, Austin, but they didn't declare war on Russia for going into Poland, even though they were allies with Poland. And primarily the land that was taken back from Poland, from Germany, was what was lost during the Versailles Treaty. I thought that was interesting. And then I didn't realize how many armaments and how much raw material and bullets and munitions that the United States sent Russia after Germany had pushed them all the way back to almost to Moscow, you know, to basically rebuild the entire Red Army. I had realized that Stalin killed between 50 and 100 million people. I realized all that. And it was interesting reading the book from a different perspective. Now, do I agree with everything in the book? Absolutely not. Is it Germany biased? Yes, it is. I'm not going to even deny that. But does it have some really key points that it makes? Yes. And a lot of what it talks about, Austin, and by the way, you can get this book for free. It's called The Bad War again. You can get it for free as a PDF because this author, when Amazon banned it, when they banned it, he put it on the internet for free. I mean, just put a free PDF on it. Here it is, free. You can have your own book. No cost. And when stuff gets banned like that, I want to know why it got banned. And after I read it, I understood why it got banned. Because the media and the Zionist Masonic lodges and all these groups of people that are involved in the Luciferian state, they don't want this information to go out, and here's why. Because they're the ones that have issued the propaganda now for the past 150 years, starting with the Scofield Bible, to force this chain of events to occur that have occurred. This is like the banker that I read about a few weeks ago. He said that back in the 20s that, you know, the international banking cartels basically hold both ends of the earth by the poles, and they direct the news and direct the course of humanity in any direction they wanted to go in. And this book pretty much showed that was true. Now, so do I recommend that you read it? It's up to you. It's just a different history interpretation. I found it very enlightening because there were a lot of things I didn't know, but I realized now why in the world, when Russia also attacked Poland and invaded Poland, and Poland was an ally of England, why didn't England basically declare war on Russia, and why they completely ignored it in the press? Well, I've already told you why. So it's pretty exciting to read books like this that are out there that are pretty much neutral, though it did have a bias towards Germany, but you have to read it with that bias and understand that's how the author interpreted it. So it was also very interesting to read that book. And it makes me realize, Austin, and exactly what you talked about, it's the deep state, the same group of people that are Luciferians that are involved in this giant surveillance state and calling the people that are basically white patriots white terrorists. Because remember, guys, in Russia, the folks that were who did the Bolshevik Revolution, they killed tens of millions of people. This is the Lenin in the 1916, 17, 18, and 19, all the way up through the 20s. And Stalin killed even more. I mean, it was unbelievable who they killed. And when a country is overthrown like this, the people that come in and write the history books then make everybody else who was a patriot or somebody who was a constitutionalist, they make them the terrorists. Because remember, they're the country that's being invaded. Do they not have the right to say? But remember, to the victors go the history books and to the spoils of war. Now, here's another story that you guys can put on your wall of weird. This is a really weird story, and I wanted to bring this up because it was something that I really was interested in when I started reading it, and I did a little bit more research on it. And this is going to get you interested too, Austin. 80 scientists set forth for an expedition in Antarctica, in the world's largest female expedition. 80 females are going to Antarctica for a 12-month program. Now, this by itself, just say, okay, wow, that's interesting. Okay, it's interesting. I got to give you that. Now, some of the top scientists, top people in chemistry, top people in the world are female as far as in research. Let me name you two of them. Holger Clark and Joanna Budwig. I believe they're both gone now. May they both rest in peace. But what was interesting about these two, they were pioneers in their fields. They got in trouble with the mainstream medicine because of what they did and what they believed. And they were in their 60s and 70s and 80s. But what was interesting about this, Austin, I started doing research, and it said in its third year, the program was the brainchild of leadership activist Fabian Datter and former Women Agenda Leadership Award finalist Jess Melbourne Thomas, project leader with the Antarctica Climate Ecosystems Cooperative Research Center. Well, I Googled that. I wanted to Google who that was, and then it popped up the Meet the Finalists of the 2017's Women's Agenda Leadership Awards. All of these women appear to be in their 20s or early 30s, and they're all, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying this is the reason they're doing it, guys. I'm not saying that these are the girls that are going, but it sure seems weird to me that people are taking a bunch, and these women, most of them are pretty, pretty girls, that they're a bunch of pretty girls going to Antarctica, and they'll be on the study program for 12 months when the gestational period of a female pregnancy who's human is 9 months. Now, you heard me say that. That's all I said. That's all I said. It seems weird to me that the Book of Enoch said that these fallen ones like the ladies, the women, and they like to breed with them. So now we get a group of 80 women going down to Antarctica for a year. I would love to go to Antarctica. I haven't got an invitation yet. I've tried to book tours and cruises down there, and it's difficult to see. You can see a little peninsula in the end, but you can't go inland. But suddenly, 80 women that the pictures that I'm seeing are of breeding age. There may be some older ones there who aren't able to have children anymore. And I'm not saying that's the only reason they're going, because like I said earlier, some of the top scientists I know in the world are female. I'm not saying the only reason they're going down there is this. But it seems very odd to me, since these fallen ones have a propensity, according to the Word of God, to like ladies on this planet and to breed with them, Austin. I'm not saying that's why they're going, but it sure seems weird to me. What do you think, Austin?
That's pretty odd. I mean, the facts that we do know is that the Nazis were obsessed with Antarctica. They had numerous bases down there that they were working on all types of crazy stuff. We've seen a lot of the research that they did as far as the anti-gravity research. We've read the stuff with Admiral Byrd. Antarctica's a weird place, and anybody that wants to act like there's nothing going on down there either lives under a rock or they completely are brainwashed by the mainstream media. There's no question about it. I mean, it's one of the only continents. Actually, it is the only continent that we have a no-flyover zone, and apparently it's for our safety. Right. Because it's always for our safety. Remember, there's surveillance cameras that monitor us, what we do for our safety. The FDA's there to protect us from eating bad things and taking bad drugs for our safety. So you just take that for what it is. So anyways, we know there's all types of underground stuff there. You can do the research that one of the main Nazi camps that had access and found all types of Viking artifacts, I mean, all kinds of cool stuff down there, supposedly left in like a half a day period, completely left base camp because they supposedly got poisoned by bad polar bear meat. Supposedly, that was the story behind it, even though they left all their equipment, all the artifacts, everything they found, all the research they had done. They basically flipped tail and took off and left the continent as fast as they could because they got bad polar bear meat.
Scared to death.
Take that for what it is, yeah. To me, the only reason I would ever leave all my artifacts, all my research, and all my equipment is because I was absolutely terrified to death that I was about to be killed for some odd reason, and I had to leave immediately. I see no other reason why you would just do that because you ate bad polar bear meat, because you'd basically get sick, and everybody would start getting sick, and you'd basically be like, all right, we need to start packing up and get out of here because we're all sick. But quite frankly, again, story doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Take it for what it is. Antarctica has always been this intrigued spot. Now we have China, talked about last month. They're sending in a giant ship down there to open up, I think, their fourth or fifth base in Antarctica, like 300 people they're bringing down there. But supposedly, it's an ice continent. There's nothing there. Snowy, ice, nothing to see there. Absolutely nothing going on in Antarctica. No reason to be there except to basically study penguins and why they breed in Antarctica. Supposedly, that's what they talk about. So there's something very strange about this. Exactly what Dad said is why they're going down there, I don't know. That's a pretty odd amount of people to bring down there, especially, I mean, in one time, all females. They're probably pretty smart, though, so they have a lot of stuff going on. But again, as far as Dad's speculating, that would make a lot of sense why you're bringing a lot of really, really, really smart females down to Antarctica. Just like 12 months, odd time. They're not going down there for a three-month expedition. They're going down there for an entire year, 9 months, 3 months for breastfeeding. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I just had a recent kid, so I'm into all this right now. But some pretty weird stuff going on as well. Let's change gears. We now have the autopsy report.
I want to add one thing to that. You know, Buzz Aldrin supposedly sent out a tweet. And it basically said, we are all in danger after he left the Antarctic. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. He also said it was evil itself. Now, some claim that's not true. Some claim that it is true. All I know is that he went to Antarctica. I mean, Buzz Aldrin, like the 80-year-old guy, goes down to Antarctica and he tweets, we are all in danger. It is evil itself. I mean, now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Some people are disputing that ever was said. And, of course, it was later deleted, the tweet, whatever. All I know is this. He had to leave out of Antarctica in a medical emergency. And why in the world are they bringing Buzz Aldrin down there? Why are they bringing the leader of not the Catholic Church, but the Greek Orthodox Church down to Antarctica? I mean, why was John Kerry there the day of our election? I mean, why did Obama go down there? I mean, what in the world are they all going down there to see besides a bunch of penguins, you know, and their mating rituals? I mean, really, that's what they want to go see? Why don't you watch a National Geographic video on that and avoid the trip? Something weird is going on there. So I apologize. Also, go ahead and continue. Just go ahead and your next story.
No, you're absolutely right with it. I mean, there's just been so much stuff that's gone down there. And so, I mean, yeah, it's pretty odd. But also, too, what I was just talking about with the autopsy report for Paddock has supposedly been released now. The odd part about it is I still have yet to find his exact time of death to be able to basically put that together with the SWAT team supposed entry time. I have not been able to find that. I'm still looking for it. However, they did show in his autopsy report that he had three specific benzodiazepines in his system: Norzapan, Oxapan, and Timzapan. Now, they're saying that those are all related to Valium. Now, we've talked about benzodiazepines before, in general, as far as how addictive they are, how bad they are to be on. I've also dealt with numerous people here in the office and friends that I've worked with that have been on this stuff and heard firsthand side effects with it. The interesting part about this product in benzodiazepines is that it can cause paranoid or suicidal thoughts, impair memory, judgment, and coordination, and can also slow breathing. One other thing that a lot of people don't know about benzodiazepines is they have also been used as date rape drugs because they can markedly impair and even abolish functions that now that normally allow a person to resist. In recent years, the detection and conviction of people involved in this has increased dramatically. The drug is usually added to alcohol-containing drinks or soft drinks in a powder or liquid, and it's almost impossible to taste. High doses of benzodiazepines can produce serious side effects, including drowsiness, confusion, dizziness, blurred vision, weakness, slurred speech, lack of coordination, difficulty breathing, and coma. The fact that he had these all in his system is not ironic to me at all, because these are a very, very heavily used drug as far as for anti-anxiety is what they're on the books for. But again, as I just said, they are blatantly known and people have used them as date rape drugs. You can mix them in drinks, and usually what happens is people black out. They don't know what's going on. They black out on it. Perfect drug to use if you wanted to make it as a cover, because he apparently had a prescription for this drug a month before this situation happened. They're saying that the cause of death was basically gunshot wound through the mouth, bullet traveled through his skull, fractures through, blah, blah, blah. So they're saying that's how he killed himself. Again, the whole story isn't making any more sense because they're not giving his time of death. I've still been trying to find that on here. If you guys find it, please send it to me via email, and I would like to look at that. Obviously, in my opinion, I think a lot of stuff's been doctored, as I went into detail last week. The fact that the judge had to give a court order for the autopsy report to be released 2 months after Paddock had already been cremated made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. Like, this guy that did the autopsy was either trying to redact, alter, or hide whatever he found in the autopsy report. And now we're even finding that he had significant amount of benzodiazepines in his system at time of death, Dad, which would make it even more obvious that he may have been drugged before he was brought up to the room, or why he was in the room involved in whatever was going on in that hotel room, Dad.
You know, Austin, this whole thing reeks. And now a judge out there in Vegas has ordered that all of this stuff has to be released. All of the research, all the reports, everything has to be released within the next few weeks. Quite frankly, I believe that when I see it. And because, quite frankly, yeah. I don't want to be, you know, because guys, this is some weird stuff, okay? And we keep staying on the story, not because it's really something that's in the news right now, because it's not. It's just because we got a lot of unanswered questions, and this whole thing, like this, like the shooting here in Orlando at the gay nightclub. We never got a final report on that. That never made the news. Nobody has any idea what happened there because they don't want us to know what happened there. They don't want us to see how twisted up all these reports are and how they don't make any sense, because they can't get everybody to collude, but they can sure stop this information from going out to the public. By the way, Donald Trump Jr.'s wife, Vanessa Trump, is hospitalized after opening a suspicious envelope. She's taken to New York City Hospital for evaluation after opening a suspicious envelope containing an unidentified substance. It's like a white powder. Now, they found it later to be benign, not toxic. But what's interesting about this is I had something similar happen to me personally years ago from a witch. Now, you guys think I'm joking, but I'm not. And I talked about it on the show a couple of years ago. I don't like talking about it very often. But we were getting these really weird letters. And this witch had sent us this envelope with a picture of Lucifer on the inside and a card. My wife kind of said, what the heck is this? We later found out who the witch was and ended up having to go to the county court, basically, to try to get her to stop doing it in pursuit of a restraining order in family court. because it was making all kinds of death threats. And what was interesting about this is when the second letter came in, Sharon wouldn't open it, and I opened it, and I got deathly ill. I mean, I lost like 17 pounds in like 6 days. I was puking my guts out, literally, waking up all night, puking all day. I have no idea what happened. I got deathly ill after I opened this letter. Now, guys, here's the point. You know, be very, very careful. It's like kind of like opening up an email that you don't know who it's from and it's got an attachment to it. And you're like, what the heck is this? Am I going to, you know, so like somebody will say, this is Publishers Clearinghouse, you know, trying to tell you that you've won the lotto. Please open attachment. You're like, whatever, man. They're not going to show up. They're not going to send you an email if you won the Publishers Clearinghouse lottery. But there's no telling how many viruses or junk you're going to get into your computer if you open it. The same thing. When you start getting mail from people that you don't know, we're pretty clear about that in the office. We just don't open it. We just don't open it because we don't like unsolicited mail because you never know what's in it. And now Vanessa Trump, I'm sure she'll be fine, but you got to be really very careful when people have that type of access to you and they know where you live and they can start doing things to you like this. So to me, it may have been a prank, but Austin, it was not funny. What do you think?
No, it wasn't funny at all. And I mean, there's no, I mean, that's just weird. I mean, the whole aspect of it is weird. I mean, so I'm sure she'll probably end up being fine, but it's definitely when you start having stuff like that happen, it's not a joke at all. Actually, it's a felony on top of that as well, if I'm not mistaken, since you're using the Postal Service, which is federal. So it's definitely not something to joke around with whatsoever. Also, too, in Florida, they're still trying to push this women's cancer prevention vaccine now. I see that they're still trying to mandate the HPV vaccine. I wanted to touch base on that. Hasn't really pushed much further in the Florida legislation, but they are still pushing for it. One thing I did see today, somebody sent me an email because our local Bay News 9 in Central Florida did another news article today. Apparently HB 219 that got submitted to the House, the Florida House, on January 9th, which is the assault weapons and large capacity magazine ban, they're now trying to push that through. It really has had very little traction over the last month, but apparently now they're getting on the bandwagon on all the mainstream media outlets. They sent me a link on Bay News 9 today, and I watched it with this blithering idiot legislator basically talking about how they need to ban assault weapons. But it's literally, I looked through it today, HB 219, and it's essentially a carbon copy of the California ban. I mean, everything. The assault weapon, the magazine, 7-round restrictions, all this stuff, and they're trying to push it through. It's actually supported by like 7 legislators as co-introduced. Again, I don't think that's something that's going to go through. That's something that should never be allowed to pass. But again, this shows you is what I told you guys before. They're trying to turn Florida into this giant liberal police state where we have no rights whatsoever. California is hemorrhaging residents because they've ruined their own state with the liberals out there. They've completely ruined it as far as the finances, the income, the taxes, the welfare, the immigration, all the stuff down there. They've turned one of the nicest, most beautiful states in the country into one of the most horrific cesspools in the entire country as far as with laws and registration and restrictions on everything. Now they're all coming to Florida, and they're trying to do the same thing over here to turn this into a red state. So I just wanted to keep you updated on that. I had already emailed all of my legislators on the HPV vaccine mandate. I just looked into this Florida thing, so I'm going to do some more research on that today. But if you're in Florida, make sure you're doing your research on this and notify your legislators and any of your local representatives, because this is not something, again, we need to have go through, just like that HPV vaccine mandate. That is an absolute nightmare if they try to push that through, which I hope it doesn't go anywhere. But, man, you want to talk about some weird bills they're trying to push through lately, Deb.
Unbelievable, Austin, but you're absolutely right. We all need to maintain our due diligence and make sure we contact our legislature to make sure that this is not going to happen. By the way, this is an interesting story, and I want to cover this because it affects everybody. Syria now has basically had enough of Israeli jets bombing into Syria. They had enough of it. And so now they're shooting at them. See, now here's the problem with shooting. When you have an Israeli jet, and it's an F-16 or whatever it is, and it's coming in at almost Mach 2, or as fast as it can run when it's got bomb ordnances attached to it. It's coming in probably 800,000-900,000 miles an hour. It launches right there. Because remember, these two countries border each other. These jets are coming in so fast, especially if they're coming in high. If they're coming in at 30,000, 40,000 feet, you know, I don't know what their payload can be dropped at as far as how far, how high they can bomb. I don't know what kind of ordnance they're carrying. But when they're coming in, it's very difficult to shoot these things down, because if a plane's coming in at 8 miles up and it's dropping ordnance on you and it's coming in at Mach 1 or Mach 2 or whatever it is, or it comes in at Mach 1 or comes in at 600 miles an hour at 40,000 or 50,000 feet, drops a bunch of bombs and turns around after the ordnance are gone, throws on the afterburners, and it leaves your airspace at 1,600, 1,700 miles an hour, whatever the top speed is on an F-16, it's very difficult to shoot down. I mean, it's because by the time you shoot at it, it's already going to be back in the Israeli airspace, and then you're going to say, they shot this plane down in Israeli airspace, and they're going to say, well, they attacked our plane in Israeli airspace. So now they finally shot one down. Now it's really got Israel kind of queued up, because they don't know what to do, because Syria actually got one of their planes, and now there's this conflict starting to escalate, because it's kind of like the bully coming in, and he's walking up behind you, and you don't see him, and every time he sees you, he thumps you in the head. And all of a sudden, one day, you catch the bully doing this, and you thump him in the head, and all of a sudden the bully says, hey, I don't like being thumped in the head. And you're like, well, tough doo-doo guy, you've been thumping me in the head, now you get to get thumped in the head. I remember I had he ended up turning to be a friend of mine. He's a huge black guy. He was going to go into college, but he didn't have the grades to get into college. But he was a big football player in our high school. I remember this guy. Now we're talking 40 something years ago, and I'll never forget this, Austin. We were this guy was big. His name was Desmond, I think. He's a big guy, and he was so strong he could pick up like a trailer and move it around, you know, off the wheels. I mean, like a car hauler. He was that big, but weighed about 250 in high school. And I remember one day he walked up to me, and he absolutely hit me as hard as he could, right in the scapula. And I'm just sitting there looking at him. I mean, I didn't see him when he did. He walked from behind me, hit me in the scapula, laughed, and walked off. And I was big. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm carrying 17 inch arms in high school. I'm a big guy. I'm strong. And I looked at him. I laughed it off, like, okay, you got me. About a week later, I walked up behind him and I hit him as hard as I could. I thought I broke my wrist. I hit him so hard. And I tell you what, he didn't think it was funny at that point. But I tell you one other thing. He never hit me again. That was the end of it. Now, here's what's interesting about this is, these guys in Syria, they're not asking to be bombed out of Tel Aviv. They're not asking to have the United States in their country. This is all about the oil line that was supposed to go from Qatar, the natural gas line, through Israel, back through Syria, back into Europe, that Russia asked Syria not to do because they're the primary suppliers of natural gas into Europe. So that's what this whole thing's about. It's all about taking over the Middle East and doing whatever they want to do with a Zionist agenda. That's what this is about. So to me, I find it interesting that finally one of these planes gets shot down. It'd be kind of like if we were living here in Florida, and all of a sudden somebody starts bombing Florida. And, you know, but before we can shoot them down, they're back over in international water out on the doggone Atlantic. If our country was attacked like that, we wouldn't care who they were. If they were international water, we would launch a counterattack. We'd shoot them down. It didn't matter if they were over Mexico by the time we shot them down. Yeah. They'd be shot down. But Syria is not supposed to be able to defend itself. And this is from G. Everett Griffin. He goes, Israel claims that a base in Syria launched a drone, no proof whatsoever, into its territory, and it responded by sending an Israeli F-16 aircraft into Syria, which was shot down over Syria. In a dramatic escalation, Israel carried out major air raids then against Syria on Saturday, including what it says are Iranian military targets in Syria. Israel now is preparing for war in the north along the Syrian borders. Okay, so they're picking on Syria and bombing the yin-yak out of them. They get one of their planes shot down because they got busted for it. Oh, I guess that we didn't go into Syria and do what needed to be done quickly enough. So now they're going to take the billions and billions and billions of dollars of advanced armament they have and do what they want to do themselves and prepare for war against Syria. Full knowing full and well that Syria knows that Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons and there's not a whole lot they can do besides to try to defend themselves, because if they start going into Israel and bombing Tel Aviv, I can guarantee what's going to happen. Syria is going to turn into a glass parking lot. They're going to get nuked. And that's what the problem is with all of this stuff, when you've got bullies in an area that like to pick on people and do things they shouldn't ought to do, Austin. I can't stand this type of aggression, and it really frustrates me that the mainstream media is not reporting on this from a neutral fashion. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, they never will. because Israel owns all the stuff. That's what I mean. The Jews own all the media. There's no question about it. I mean, you see what they do as far as skewing everything all the way back from World War II and before. And the sad part about this is I can't stand bullies. I absolutely hate bullies. I can't stand people that run around and pick on other people when they know that there's nothing they can do basically to defend themselves with any significant manner. It's like you said, if Syria goes in and does some type of counterstrike, Israel's just going to nuke them. I mean, what do we give them $50 billion in foreign aid for every time? So Israel can have one of the largest nuclear arsenals and the most advanced AI military in the world. Oh, imagine that. That's where they get all their money from taxing the American population illegally and giving our money away that we work for, the hard-earned dollars, and giving it to Israel so they can be one of the strongest countries in the world as far as militarily. That's what happens. That is why the media won't report on it, because they run all the media. And the sad part is most of the people in Syria, they don't even have anything to do with this. They're trying to just live freely on their way and not be bombed on a regular basis. I mean, look at the garbage you see every time. Oh, Syria releases sarin gas on their own population. Russia goes, no, that definitely didn't happen. You know, a bomb got dropped and blew up basically a factory over there, and all this stuff came out, if that's even what happened with that. Oh, well, we need to attack Syria. We got to go bomb Syria. Let's send in 50 Tomahawk missiles into Syria now and blow up all their landing strips because they supposedly use sarin gas. There's always an agenda. There's always another story, and there's always the truth behind a lot of this stuff, and rarely is it ever portrayed through the mainstream media, Dad, and it's sad to me that a lot of these people in Syria are stuck in the crossfire for no legitimate purpose at all. But like you said, if somebody started flying jets over Florida, even if they didn't drop ordnance, if we had unidentified jets flying over Florida, we would basically give them a stand-down order and basically leave our airspace immediately. If they did not comply exactly when we told them to, we would take them and drop them as fast as we physically could. There is no question about that, and I would expect them to do so because they're flying into our sovereign country, our airspace, with military jets uninvited. Imagine that. Imagine that concept. That's what you try to do. You try to defend your country when military jets fly in for absolutely no reason whatsoever and uninvited. That's just the way it goes. So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
By the way, here's another article. Israel warns Iran. This is from the Christian Journal. Syria is playing with fire as fighter jet crashes during airstrikes. The Israeli military shot down an Iranian drone. Well, they don't know that. Launched from Syria. They don't know that. Into Israel. Airspace. We don't know that. Saturday. And the military describes a severe and irregular violation of Israel's sovereignty. Okay, so they sent an unarmed drone, somebody does, into Israel. So that gives them the right to go in and start bombing Syria. I mean, they can send their arsenal into Syria, but whoever sent the drone can't do that, and we don't even know who sent the drone. The military said its planes faced massive anti-aircraft fire from Syria. Imagine that! Imagine that! Which forced two Israeli pilots to abandon their F-16 jet as they sought to target the drone's launching pad. We don't know if any of this is true. One pilot was severely injured, and both were taken to hospitals for medical treatment after they landed in Israeli territory. So apparently they were on their way home, and they were high enough up that they were able to direct their parachutes to land in Israeli territory. In a response, Israel launched a large-scale attack. Now remember, you got a drone comes in, nobody knows where it comes from, so he starts bombing another country. So in response, Israel launches a large-scale attack on at least a dozen Iranian targets in Syria. We have no idea if they're Iranian, making a dramatic escalation in tensions along the country's northern border. The Israeli strikes marked its most significant engagements since fighting in the neighborhood of Syria began in 2011. They have continually and routinely bombed Syria for 20, 30, 40 years. I can give you the dates and all the incursions into Syrian airspace. And guys, it's unbelievable to me that these guys constantly get a pass and nobody says anything about any of it, Austin. It's absolutely crazy, bud. What do you think?
It is. It's really sad. It's really ridiculous. Also, too, switching gears in other news with science and health, Japan now has basically lifted the ban on creating human organs inside of animals now. This is pretty crazy because the practice of growing human organs in pigs has basically been speculated on and used in some rare circumstances, but now the Japanese government has decided to fully approve the research to be conducted. They said the decision to approve growing human organs in animals was made following a broad agreement over the issue by Japanese Science Ministry Council. At the moment, similar experiments are permitted in Japan, but not to this extent. The report used by the panel of experts is making the decision notes that there needs to be a strict management system to fully oversee the research. After all, it will be a major change considering that prior to approval, there were a ban on a lot of these in-depth studies now. And so what they're trying to cite is the efficiency of being able to grow human organs in pigs. And the whole aspect of this, when it's not growing an organ in a pig that really, to help somebody out that needs a transplant, that really bothers me. It's the fact where this is going to lead to is creating these chimera hybrids where we're going to have these animals and human mixed together and what this is going to lead to, Dad. But what do you think about this now that it's not underground as much anymore? They're actually blatantly coming out now in Japan and mainstreaming it and saying that it's okay.
The technology is beyond that. We're cloning humans. I mean, like that one movie we saw that they had actually people that were being cloned to be used for organs for the persons who they had been cloned from. That technology is already here. We have that technology. Yeah. I mean, gosh, it's like anti-gravity technology from the 30s, from Schauberger. I mean, we have all that technology. I mean, stuff's been around for a long, long, long time. Like right now, they're launching these rockets from the rocket pad. They're saying this rocket's the most powerful rocket in production right now. All these rockets are old technology. This is 100-year-old technology. 100-year-old technology. Are you telling me we're using the same technology that the Nazi rocket scientists used back in the 20s and the 30s? Is that what we're doing right now? We haven't come any further than that? And when we used to fly at Kitty Hawk? Are you joking me? I mean, this is ridiculous that this technology is so far advanced. We literally have a breakaway civilization on this planet that's been allowed to progress dozens, if not hundreds of years in advance of where we are right now. And they're keeping the technology away from all of us. Why? Because of the petrochemical oil industry. Because the Rothschild boys control this entire petrochemical industry and the power stations and the utility companies, and that keeps us in a slave mindset. Remember, the reason that the Rothschilds had the federal income tax passed in 1913 along with the Federal Reserve is so that the people could be forced to pay back the interest on the loan, and they could adjust the amount of interest they had to pay to keep people in a quote-unquote socialist welfare state. In other words, if a person starts making too much money, you tax them 60, 70, 80, 90%, and it brings their income back down so they can never become financially capable of going against you in the media or buying ads against you to try to tell the world who and what you really are. That's why we have the income tax, and that's why we have the inheritance tax. That's why these guys who are the wealthy ones, like all the Rockefellers, etc., everything goes into trusts. And then we have the Rockefeller medical cartel, which is what we have today in mainstream medicine, and why so many people are dying, and why the U.S. is leading the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer on a regular basis. I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple of dates here real quick. Here's a history of Israeli military aggression against Syria. It started back in 1967, on June the 9th to 10th, 1967. Israeli attacked Syria, occupying the country's Golan Heights during its six-day war on Arab territories. October the 5th, 2003. An Israeli warplane squadron attacks a camp about 24 kilometers northwest of the Syrian capital, Damascus, injuring a civilian guard. Other dates, September the 6th, 2007, November the 11th, 2012, November the 17th, 2012, January the 30th, 2013. This list goes on and on and on, page after page. Guys, this is what we're dealing with in the Middle East right now, is unbridled aggression, because we've enabled this country to do this, because we've given them all of this massive warfare. What we have to understand, guys, is this. During World War I, the British troops left. When the American troops arrived, the British troops went after Turkey. They left the front, and so they could go into basically go into Palestine, take Palestine away from the inhabitants that were being controlled by the Turks. This happened at the end of World War I. The Brits stayed there this entire time until after World War II, in which they basically created the State of Israel. All of this stuff was done as part of the Balfour Declaration, the dragging of Germany into World War, the United States into World War I, all of this stuff. If you read the history books of how this happened, this is who did this and why they're involved in all this, guys. And it's something we all need to realize. We have to read history, which is what the globalists don't want us to do. Because, guys, if we don't read history, what's going to happen is we're going to continue to reap the absolute horrific results of repeating it over and over and over again. By the way, top pharma brand of children's vitamins contains aspartame, GMOs, and other hazardous chemicals. I'm talking about Flintstone vitamins. This is an article by Sagar G. So the number one children's vitamin brand in the U.S. contains ingredients that most parents would never intentionally expose their children to. So why are they not opting for more healthier alternatives? It contains aspartame, cupric oxide, artificial color gauges, FDC blue number 2, red number 40, yellow number 6. These are like super toxic. It contains sorbitol. It contains hydrogenated oils. It contains GMO cornstarch. It goes on and on and on. I mean, aspartame, we talked about many times, is a synthetic combination of amino acids, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine, also using methanol, which is paint thinner. This is it. This doggone vitamin contains paint thinner and has 40 adverse health effects that's been basically proven to be true. I mean, this is some toxic mess. Also, they use coal tar, artificial coloring agents, all of this stuff. Guys, we've got a multiple vitamin that's powder that you can stir up in a glass of water. I take it every day. It tastes great. We've also got chewable supplements that don't have all this junk in them. They taste great. If you've got kids, do yourself, do your family, do your children a favor and get them off of these artificial colors, artificial flavors, toll car derivative, absolute garbage vitamins, and all of the research that we have that shows that this stuff is so toxic for you and how our products are the best of the world. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you so much for listening to our show every day. I want to let you guys know that I appreciate you. You know, you guys send me letters and you send me information and all the stuff that you send me all the time. It means so much to me because, guys, if we don't work together, you know, we're not going to get this thing taken care of. This past week, I was doing some research. And don't get me wrong, Roger Stone has done a lot as far as getting President Trump elected. But Roger Stone is not who you think he is. That's why I will never have Roger Stone on the show. Now, do some research from the National Enquirer with Roger Stone and figure it out on yourself on some stuff that when he was working on the Bob Dole campaign. It's some stuff that I'm not even going to talk about on the air. But do your own research on who he is. Guys, be rest assured, when we bring people on this show as guests, or when we talk about stories, we do the best we possibly can to vet these people the best we possibly can. And guys, it's part of what we do at Health Masters. You say, well, why are you picking on Roger Stone? I'm not picking on Roger Stone. Do your own research on Roger Stone. Look back in the 90s under the Dole campaign. In fact, why don't you do this? Why don't you just look it up under Wikipedia? Just look it up under Wikipedia, and you'll get a full crawfish of what happened with Roger Stone back in the 90s and why we don't bring guests on like that. If we know that people are doing certain things we don't care from a Christian standpoint, we make sure we walk away and stay away, and we don't bring them back on if we find out these things. And we have other people that I know about in advance, and they will never be a guest because I know they have certain beliefs or they do certain things that I don't agree with, and I'm not going to talk about. Now, guys, I appreciate you. And so, you know, I have gotten so many emails this weekend at how, you know, like we're the only show that continues to be a neutral part of the media. In fact, we represent both sides. You know, when Trump does something good, we tell you Trump did something good. When Trump does something bad, we tell you Trump did something bad. But guys, you know, we've got to do that way. We have to take and read both sides and make our own decision on what we think is accurate. We have to make sure that we vet our stories, which we do the best to do, and we have to realize that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, a lot of you who aren't Christians who are listening to the show, you have no idea what that means. That's that still small voice in you that basically when you're a Christian that you know something's right or something's wrong and you can feel it in your spirit. That's something that people need to understand is that, guys, there are a lot of things going on right now by the folks in Washington, D.C., in this unbelievably deep swamp that we have found our country in that needs to be cleaned out. So, guys, I appreciate you. Also, I'll go ahead and do the write-up. I love you guys. Thanks again for getting your supplements from us. And, guys, go ahead and just continue to do your research. Make sure we're saying stuff's right. And if we miss something, let us know, and we'll correct it on the show. God bless you guys.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and see, and we're so picky about that, guys, as far as who we bring on the show, because we get lots of emails all the time with people saying, oh, well, you need to get so-and-so on, or I know so-and-so, let's, you know, hook you guys up. And we don't mind a lot of times if it's a good guest and we are on the same page, and it's not that we don't want to have any different agreements on here, but we have to be very careful who we promote on our show, because that essentially reflects who we are to some extent as far as what we support and what we bring on the show. So that's why we're so picky about it. And yes, with the Flintstone vitamins, all the other garbage that's on the market, don't put that stuff in your body. Don't let your kids put it in their body. A lot of that stuff in some cases is worse than just eating regular organic or natural candy. I mean, as far as, and they're supposed to be vitamins. They're supposed to be healthy. And I mean, that's what everybody has to understand, is that this is not something that you need to be using under any circumstances whatsoever. That's why we have the children's chewable multivitamin, as far as the tablets. Those are some of the cleanest children's multivitamin you can get on the market, on the website, or you can run the powder, or you can run the capsules. Lots of different options. We try to cater to you guys because we appreciate your support and we appreciate your business as well. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week on the website at healthmasters.com, the Stress Control Serenex formula. Very popular product, been on sale since last Wednesday, already had a lot of it go out, so we got a good batch of it basically coming in this week to make sure we keep all the orders fulfilled. And also, too, be sure to check out the other products we have that you can vote for. I think right now the Cortisol Buster is winning. It's number one, and that's a very, very popular product. So be sure to go on the website and vote for that as well. Also, if you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We're always here for you guys, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or you can send us an email as well. We got a lot of emails lately. I'm trying to get caught back up on all of them. We've just had a huge, huge amount of them come in over the last week. They kind of come in waves. So thank you for being patient with us on that. Thank you for the support and everything you guys have. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.